Welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast with Mike Evans and Certified Tax Resolution Specialist Todd Whalen. Mike and Todd will discuss listeners' questions and common problems you might face dealing with the IRS.
Hey everyone, once again, want to welcome you to the IRS Problems Podcast. I'm Mike Evans, along with Todd Whalen from Advanced Tax Solutions, who you hear, I think you hear him on the fan more than you hear me on the fan, quite honestly. So we need to give you your own show, Todd. But in this case, you do have your own show, as you're here to help people with their problems and some of the issues that they're dealing with when it comes to their tax dealings, and especially their dealings with the IRS. And the famous term is knowledge is power, right? I mean, everybody says knowledge is power, and knowledge is power. How much power does the IRS really have?
Well, you know, last time we talked, I mentioned, you know, that movie where the guy whispers, knowledge is power. And then the woman he said it to says, seize him and cut his throat. And these bodyguards, you know, I'll grab him and they put the knife getting ready. And she's like, oh, stop. Never mind. Just kind of casually. I changed my mind. Now, you guys back up three steps, turn around, and close your eyes. And they all did. And then she walks up to the stunned man and says, power is power. And that's kind of how it is dealing with IRS. The IRS has power like you wouldn't believe. The more I learn about it, they just have power. They can do things that you and I can't do. If I did business with you, Mike, the way they do business, I'd probably go to jail. You know, I mean, they can send letters. Let's say, you know, in a collection matter, they just have just overwhelming power. It'd surprise you. They can send you a letter. Let's say you haven't filed in a while. I see this all the time. You haven't filed in a while. Well, the IRS, and let's say you've moved, which a lot of times you have, and that's why you haven't filed. You don't have your records. Matter of fact, as a side note, a lot of times it's a divorced man who leaves the house. That's very, very common. The divorce, they get a divorce, he leaves the house, the wife stays in the house, probably have children. And when the IRS notices and stuff come, it just gets thrown in the trash because they hate each other. You know, it's just never gets them. Or they've both moved and they're still married. And because they moved, they never get these notices saying, hey, you haven't filed. And then a little while later, they're like, well, we're going to file for you. You don't get that notice either. And next they say, okay, we're going to estimate your return that you owe us all this money. And whether you get the letter or not, maybe you didn't move, maybe you just didn't respond, but most of the time people moved and they have no idea that this is happening. And then the IRS takes a wild guess. They base it on everything they know about you, and they create the worst, nastiest tax return they possibly can. They don't give you dependents. They don't give you any exemptions. They give you nothing. And they say, okay, you got 30 days to respond. And if you don't, you're going to legally owe this. And you do. And so when you don't respond, all of a sudden you owe this big liability that isn't even necessarily true. So that's kind of where it starts. And you have no idea now that you owe this money. So it works so well the first time, the IRS writes another letter saying, oh, by the way, you owe us money now, pay up. And they have a series of a few letters, and one of them is final, called a final notice of intent to levy, and you have 30 days to appeal it. But if you never get that letter, it still counts because they sent it to the last known address. And so now they own you. They just financially own you. They can have their way with you because at that point, you've lost all your rights and they can start taking stuff. And they do. So most people in that circumstance, my experience has been, they come in and they're like, I don't know what happened. The IRS just took my bank account. They just sent my employer a letter, a garnishment. And so I have no money and I have no hope of getting paid. And that's where it starts with them, right? So that's pretty brutal. But then you find that you've lost all your appeal rights. You can't get tax oversight, tax court oversight. you owe the money and you're in a position of jumping through all their hoops and they don't have to do anything. I mean, that's power.
So what would be your advice then to especially when you brought up something interesting there, when you talked about, you know, for divorce and it's quite common. What would be your advice to people to stay ahead of this stuff? Because what I'm hearing when you discuss all this is that, okay, the IRS has a ton of power and they can wield it, but it is on you as well, right? I mean, it there is some self-responsibility there to understand, hey, my life is changing a lot and this is an area in which it's going to be impacted. I have to stay on top of that stuff.
Yeah. I agree. Have you ever been through a divorce?
No. Okay. You have, right?
Yeah. 30 years ago, I did my turn. But it was, you know, there's a lot of change. There's just a lot of change. And there's hurt and frustration, a lot of times confusion. You don't even understand at the time. You know, it's not till years later, like, man, I screwed that up. You know, mm-hmm. But so, yeah, they made a mistake. And they, you know, the proper thing to do would be to change your address with IRS. There's a form for it. I can't remember the form, but I think, yeah, I can't remember. Might be an 8821, but so you can change your address with IRS, but certainly you should change your address with your bank, your employer, all that, because that's where the problem really starts is you don't get your tax stuff. That's the very common. Your tax information goes to your ex and you never see it. And so you're like, well, what do I do? I don't have my information. And then, but so had you like changed your address with your employer and the bank and whoever else sends you tax filing information, it would have been okay. But I get it, man. When I went through it, my life was falling apart. It's not like I could strategically say, oh, I better let the IRS know where I live. Yeah. You know,
let me put together my to-do list here.
Right. It's my to-do list is let's go to the bar and have some drinks.
Right.
All this, you know, and, at least that's during the divorce. But really after you file a tax return, so if you don't do a change of address with IRS, and you can get on the IRS website and go change of address and it'll bring up the form. I'm sorry, I don't know it. I used to, but I can't remember it right now. So, you know, you can get that and you can change your address. And at least that way you get these notices, you know. And two, what people don't know is the IRS has all your W-2s on file. So even if it went to your ex, you can actually call the IRS or get online, set up an account online and request it and get all your W-2s and 1099s and everything else that they request for you.
All right, Todd. So if you haven't been able to do all the things that you need to do to get ahead of the changes in your life and the IRS is wielding this power and you're kind of under their thumb, so to speak, what can you do?
Well, so now you owe the IRS a lot of money based on tax returns that aren't really legit, right? So there's two ways you can approach it, really. You can either protest those tax returns. The IRS doesn't have to change them, but you can protest them. And in many cases, they will. But that would be a return you don't want to be aggressive on because they don't have to make any changes. So you want to do kind of a conservative tax return, submit it to them, get the right balance down if you're going to do a payment plan, right? So if you're going to try to pay them off and do a payment plan, you'd want to start talking with the IRS and get an account hold, you know, so that they're not taking your stuff. If you're already in a levy, you'd have to give them financial statements to reduce the levy saying, hey, this is what I can afford to pay you. And then get into some kind of solution to stop the damage. And then meanwhile, you're protesting those tax returns in the background. But many times that takes months, if not even a year. Right now, it's pretty, they're pretty backed up. And so, you want to get into a solution like a payment plan and then protest those returns. Now, that's if you're going to pay them off. If you're going to do an offer and compromise, so you're going to settle for less than you owe, mm-hmm. then in that case, you don't want to amend the returns because you want the liability to be as high as possible. Mm-hmm. Because the higher the liability, the more likely you qualify for an offer. So there's two different bars. You have to qualify for an offer, which means that you have to prove that you couldn't pay them. And then there's a second set of rules on how much to calculate the offer amount. So let's say your offer amount would calculate to be $5,000. That has nothing to do with if you qualify. If you could pay it off, let's say you owed $30,000 and you could pay it off in the next 7 years, they won't do that offer for $5,000, even though that's the calculation. So you want to make sure that the liability is as high as possible if you're going to do an offer, and you wouldn't protest the returns, or you would protest the returns if you're going to pay them off in some kind of a payment plan.
So this is a podcast in which the idea is to help people with some of their issues. What you're describing here in this conversation, at what point does it pass from being something that perhaps I can do on my own, maybe with help from your DIYIRSHelp.com, in which you lay out a lot of the different ways that you can help people sort of do it themselves? And at what point does it become clear, hey, I need your help, Todd. I need a professional to come in.
You know, it's in this case, it's probably going to depend on the dollar volume. So let's say they prepared substitute for returns and you only owe $5,000.
Right.
Well, do you really want to hire a professional to challenge that and do all this work? Right. If the returns were fairly simple and you feel like, well, they're close, you know, this probably is about what I would owe, then you can probably do a payment plan on your own. But let's just say you have issues and it's a little more complicated. In that case, you'd probably want some help with your tax prep. That's the hardest part of it, is preparing a protested return, and that's, number one, really legitimately right. So you don't want any errors. No, this isn't the time to goof, because you're asking them for a favor, actually.
Right, right.
They don't have to do it. And then, so if you had complicated returns, I'd say get professional help for sure. That would be more of an advanced tax solutions versus, you know, W-2s, the returns are kind of close. You don't owe that much. You can probably do it yourself. Use the do-it-yourself irshelp.com, and which would be DIYIRSHelp.com. And that module will tell you how to do a payment plan or how to do an offer and compromise.
As we're talking about this, is there an amount of money owed in which you would say, okay, you're now getting up into a figure where you want to have, and they have you under their thumb, and they're wielding their seemingly unlimited power. Is there an amount that you get to where you recommend to people, hey, this is getting into the territory where you need some professional help?
Well, two things would indicate that. You know, it's not a dollar amount. One thing would be complexity. Like, if you're no kids, W-2s, that's it. Those tax returns are right, and you can do it on your own. You have a business. Mm-hmm. You probably need some help preparing the returns correctly. But most important, like, there's not a dollar volume, because somebody who makes $30,000 and owes $15,000, that's a big deal. If they owed $60,000, they can do an offer on their own if it's not too complicated. But, you know, but the same person who makes $500,000 a year and owes $660,000 or $30,000, they can just pay it. You know, they have the ability to pay it. So it depends on your income and your assets. But let me just put it this way. If this liability is so big that you feel like you can't get out from under it, then you need help, whether it be, you know, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you could do it through do-it-yourself IRS help. Or if you have complicated issues, you really do need. It's not easy to do an offer. It's not. You need, mm-hmm. Most people are going to need help unless it's a smaller, simpler case.
especially when you're already on the IRS's radar and they're wielding that considerable power they have. Yeah. You're already kind of on the defensive anyway. And so at that point, you probably do want that help. As always, this is a opportunity for you to get help. If you have questions or if you know of people who have questions, this is a free outlet to get that kind of help. And you could go to denverfan.com/tax and send in your questions and comments. And we'll take those questions and comments and answer them right here during the IRS Problems Podcast. So please take advantage of it, and please spread the word to people that you know who you suspect could probably use some help. And let's cut through some of this stuff so that you can get your life back on track and get your finances back on track. So once again, for Todd Whalen, I'm Mike Evans. Again, thank you so much for listening to the IRS Problems Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the IRS Problems Podcast. If you have a question you'd like answered, please post your question at denverfan.com/tax.